I was gonna sing to y'all, but I realized that it's Women's History Month and I come in peace. Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode of the Black Girl Tea Podcast. It's Nye. I know my voice sounds a little raggedy right now. Your girl is tired. And that pretty much sums it up. But you know, I have a duty, I have a job, I have made a commitment to you all, and the show must go on. One monkey don't stop the show, and in this case, the monkey that we're talking about is my voice. I'm not straining my voice, though. It's not like I'm sick or anything. I'm just tired, and it's to the point where you can hear it in my voice, and I hate that. But, like I said, I made a commitment. I'm not gonna let anything stop me. I am still prioritizing my rest and everything. It's just been a very, very long day. Like, it's been a long week, actually. A long month. February was very much jam-packed for me. I know you're probably like, you didn't even really do much because I didn't see much of what was happening. But I did a lot, guys. I was the head curator for all Black History Month celebrations for my job. And it was absolutely amazing. And I guess I could just say it was absolutely amazing. I have no complaints. Everything was perfect. It just took a lot of energy from me to like do my job and do that. But all good things. I now know how to maneuver for, you know, the next time I have a whole month. But yeah, enough about me. What's going on with y'all? Talk to me. Text me, email me, call me, however you let me know about what's going on in your life. For those of you that take this moment to journal, reach out to me and let me know how that's going for you. Like, do you find it impactful? How are you journaling? What's going on? Is it improving in any way? And I'll share a little bit with y'all right now. My journaling has been very much impactful, in a great way. It's made it easier for me to check in with myself. I don't feel like I am journaling every day because I'm just journaling. It's working for me. So there are days where I just go without writing in the journal. But when I really need to check in with myself, that journal is my best friend. And there's no interruptions. When I'm journaling, I'm locked in. And I make sure of that. The phone goes on Do Not Disturb. Any knock at the door and anything goes ignored during that time. So I encourage you all to get into journaling if that's your thing. And maybe it's not for you. But give it a try. Figure it out. You never know what works until it really works. But Happy Women's History Month. I mean, the beginning of the year is always so great for me because I can rest a little bit in January. And then in February, I celebrate the fact that I was born. I celebrate the fact that I'm a Black person. And then in March, I celebrate the fact that I'm a woman. And this year, we doing all celebrations big. I said this to y'all. I said this. We doing it big when it comes to celebrating ourselves this year. I don't know. I think, to me, Women's History Month is one of those months I feel like it doesn't get enough love. And it's just like, oh yeah, this woman went to the moon. Okay, yeah, this woman did that. And I don't like that. I really don't like that. I really want to talk about the things that happened and, you know, with becoming a woman, the things that we knew, the things that we didn't know, the lessons we've learned, purely about womanhood. You know, like, I think that's what should be happening. And what better way to do that than to take the steps and do it myself, which is what I'm doing. So for all of you who have purchased your tickets, I will see you on March 8th for International Women's Day as we celebrate what it is to be a woman and womanhood and all that good stuff. And that is my goal now. Every International Women's Day, there will be something going on. Whether it is an event that I'm having or creating for you guys, or we're all teaming up to go to someone else's event. But we deserve to be celebrated, and we need to be celebrated out loud. And with that being said, let's talk about being a woman. I have days where I absolutely love being a woman, and I have days where I hate it. And for any woman that is out there listening to me, I know you can 100% understand exactly where I'm coming from. When I was a kid, in my head, and what I've seen, obviously, in my household and things like that, one thing that I was, like, really excited to do, I wasn't excited to be, like, I wasn't one of those kids. I was like, I can't wait till I'm grown, because, honey, I could wait, because I seen what was happening. But I really, I wanted to be 21 so I can get me some drinks. Because I see my aunts and like family members and just other women, when they would go out, and I have a different caliber of women in my life than some other people, but I would see them putting on gowns and like really nice outfits to go out and have a drink with their girlfriends. And I was like, I can't wait to do that. Like, how do we get there? And now I understand in a whole nother way what those moments were for them when they would put on those dresses and stuff like that. So that's what I was banking on when it came to being a woman. And I was just waiting. I can't wait to go put on this beautiful dress. I have one goal in mind right now. I need to find me a nice baby blue long gown. I have to, because my grandmother wore a baby blue dress for her wedding, and I think she looked beautiful. I will not be getting married in a baby blue dress, but a night in the town in a baby blue gown? Oh, I got bars. I'm not a Grammy's about to go. Anyway, but like, I just really want that moment for myself. Like, sis, let me see what this baby blue about to do for me. But one of the things that a lot of women talk about when it comes to like becoming a woman and womanhood is the menstrual cycle. I hate it. I wish it can be deleted. I wish God could send us a text message and say, hey, you're not pregnant. You're still capable of having children. And I'm going to detoxify your body and all that type of stuff in another way. Very much grateful for this, but I could do without. And when I first got my period, I already knew what it was. You know, like my mom had a conversation with me. My grandmother had a conversation with me. And my grandmother told me she didn't know what the hell was happening to her when she got her period. So I'm one grateful that there is now a time where talking about a menstrual cycle is something that we can do. It is not taboo. It is not making a girl mature early. It is literally a part of womanhood. So I got my period. Thankfully for me, my first time getting my period, I was in the comfort of my home. I know there are some women who don't have the pleasure of saying that. But I pulled up on my mom, like, hey girl, my period is here. And she was like, oh shit. Totally freaked out. And I don't know, it kind of just like, all right, this is part of life now. I have to make sure that in my purse and in my book bags, I have a lady pouch, which I still have to this day. Inside of my lady pouch when I first started getting my period was a backup pair of underwear, a couple of pads, well, more than a couple, panty liners, down there wipes. At the time, I don't think down there wipes existed, or at least I didn't have wipes that were called down there wipes. I just had lady wipes, you know? I forgot where we got them from. I think we got them from Walgreens or something. But anyways, I had those things in my bag. I always had soap, like a travel size body wash and things like that, because those are things that my mom had instilled with me from a very young age. Like, you need to have these things in your purse. But once my period came on, I had to add extra panties and pads, of course. The first few months of my period, like of me having my period, was fine, and then one day everything went left. I had went to sleep, woke up, my period was on, came back and lay down for a few minutes, and I started having horrible cramps. And one thing I will say that I was not prepared for when it came to like having a period and everything is the nature of your doctor's visits changed. I wish I would have gotten a heads up on that, because I could do without those doctor's visits too. Like, I'm glad I'm healthy, but Jesus, I really could have done without. But really just like going to the doctor was different and everything. But I woke up one morning, like I was saying, back to my little story. I know I got ADHD. But I was fine. And then I just started having these horrible cramps. Then I started throwing up. Stayed home from school. Day two of the period was a little bit better, but still gruesome. From that point forward, day one of my periods were always awful. I was always in pain. I was always having horrible cramps. I was always throwing up. I didn't eat much. I could literally just drink house temperature water and maybe bread. Sometimes I would throw the bread up too. But it was awful. And I had to deal with that for, I want to say, I got my period in fifth grade. So from fifth grade to junior year of high school, I dealt with that. Mylol did not help me Advil did not help me. Even the 800 milligram ibuprofen, that shit did not, nothing was helping. Ice pack, heating pad, nothing helped me. I literally just had to lay there on the first day of my period and suffer for all of those years. Then I started working at Planned Parenthood when I was in high school. And I started learning a lot. I started learning, you know, the nature of lady doctor's visits and all those types of things, and learning what birth control is and learning what it does. Had a couple conversations with some of the doctors there, and I decided, you know, I'm gonna get on birth control. And a lot of the doctors there were just like, oh, okay. I didn't talk to my mom about it because I was very much, how can I say this? It's not that I was doing it behind her back, because I wasn't, but it was just something that, like, I want to do this for me. And I had it made up in my mind that anytime I decided to make a womanhood decision, anything that had to do with my body, that I would do the research and I would make the best decision that I saw fit. Obviously consulting with my doctors, but I would do what was right for me. I had a conversation with a mentor of mine, and they were like, the fact that you're a junior in high school and this is the mindset that you have is amazing. The fact that you have people and resources that you can utilize to support this mindset that you have, I think is amazing, because women don't have that. And I decided I'm going to get on birth control. Did my research. I figured out, you know, I move around too much in a day. I do too much. So I also was in high school. So if I am taking a birth control pill, I have to be able to be taking this pill at the same time every day. I probably would not be able to do that. So I was like, all right, yep, pill is not an option for me. Didn't want the depot shot because I didn't like the things that I was hearing from people. So I decided it wasn't for me. And I either needed to get an IUD, which I wasn't a fan of. Didn't like the things that I read, and my doctors were like, like, they were a little hesitant when I was talking to them about it. So I was like, yeah, I'm gonna take that as a sign. I ended up getting Nexplanon, which is the implant that goes in your arm. And in the moment, I was just like, all right, I'm gonna do it. It wasn't something that I had to persuade myself to do. I did my research, I asked questions that I needed to ask, and this is what I decided that I was gonna do. So let's talk about the procedure of that. So that pretty much was them figuring out that they're gonna put it in my left arm, right above my elbow. Not right above my elbow, a little, it's on the inside of my arm, a little bit up from my elbow, in that, like, fatty part that I have. You know, I have a potato salad arm, so I've got some extra meat on my bones. But I decided that I was, you know, I'm going to do this. I'm gonna get this birth control in my arm. And honestly, the procedure itself, the preparation for the procedure actually took longer than the procedure. They found, you know, they did the placement, and she was like, all right, this is the little needle thing. I have no issue with needles. Here's a needle. We're just gonna slide it in your arm, and it's gonna put the implant inside. Then we're gonna bandage you up. They cleaned the area, did what they had to do. 1, 2, 3, it was in. They bandaged me up. It literally took, like I said, more time to prepare for the procedure than the actual thing happening. And I was like, all right, cool, we out of here. I had a little dressing on it. I couldn't, you know, you're not supposed to get that little area wet. So taking a shower was definitely difficult. And, you know, as time went on, I definitely felt differences in my body. I had no issues at all. And I just started really, like, monitoring my body and my health a little bit differently. And I was a junior in high school doing this. My period came the first month after I got it, and then I didn't have a period for years, which I appreciate. I didn't have any PMS symptoms, like nothing, like, it was almost like my period, I took my period away. When it was time for me to get, and I had this for 3 years, 4 years before I had to get it replaced, something like that, I don't remember. But again, leading up to that moment, I, you know, checked in with myself. I like how my body feels. I like how my body looks. I didn't gain any weight from this. I didn't lose any weight from this. And any weight that I did gain or lose was because I decided that I was going to either eat or not eat. Like, the medication, the hormones inside of this birth control didn't do anything for me. Like, it didn't do anything to me, rather. And I was like, all right, are we going to stay on this? Are we going to get off? I did my research, checked in with myself, and went to the doctor. And she was like, all right, so to take this out, it's going to be this almost the same way that we put it in. And I was like, all right, cool. Did that. Again, no complications. The preparation took longer than the actual procedure itself. And I'm still on it. I actually get it taken out at the end of this year, and I'm going to stay on it. The second time around, I noticed that I started getting, instead of like having no period, I would just have spotting for maybe 1 or 2 days. And if that, sometimes I had, in the last 3.5 years, I've had a period 2 times, like a consistent, like five days of bleeding. I only had it 2 times. But no complaints, none whatsoever. I love it. I wish, from all that I just said, I really wish that women had people in their corner that supported whatever decision that they were going to make with their body, because at the end of the day, it's their fucking bodies. Like, who are any of us to say something about what someone decided to do with their bodies, from birth control to tattoos to piercings to abortion? Like, shut the fuck up. It's not your body. You can support someone, even if you don't agree with it. You can be there for them and you know, just be that shoulder for them to cry on should they need it. Y'all don't have to bash people the way that you do. And that's something that I wish I had a little bit more of a heads up about. Like, people don't, and it's not all people, as we know. We have some really great humans on this earth, and we have some really bad ones. It sucks that the bad ones exist, but it is what it is. What can we do? I really wish that I had more preparation for the things that people didn't like about women that had agency over their body. I get hated on, and it's not just me. It's not like this is a new thing, we all know, but when you know that this is who you are, this is what I want to do, this is the decision I'm standing on, some people don't like that, and they just treat you like shit. The fact that I would walk into Planned Parenthood and see, like, people protesting the fact that women have rights over their body, like, say no to abortion is legal, da 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 da, like all that type of shit, like, it really bothered me. And I guess, like, my mom and grandmother probably didn't know how to have those conversations with me, but now when I, like, talk to my mom about it, we're on the same page. She's like, yeah, I think it's a hot ass mess. Women should be able to do whatever they want to do. I have made some great decisions with my life, and I've made some poor ones, but at the end of the day, I have to take accountability for things that happened in my life and things that happened to my body. And it was scary, and I feel like the fact that women, and it's not to say that there are things that men don't have to worry about, but this is about women right now. I feel like the fact that women have to sometimes be secretive and private about what decisions they're making because of the backlash from society, I think that's atrocious. I'm just say that. But yeah, that's some of the craziness that I've experienced with womanhood. But some of the good shit that I've experienced with womanhood is just being able to be around women. Sisterhood is amazing to me. Being able to be around women that get it. And what I mean by that is there are some struggles that, you know, women face that some women don't understand at all. They never had to experience it. And I think if you didn't have to experience some of the toughness of life, great, more power to you. But to be in a room where women get it, that's something. I hope you didn't think that the episode stopped right there. Thanks for listening to the Black Girl Tea Podcast. Let's get back into it. And when I say it's just something about it, like, I can't even, it's just so fulfilling. I can't put it in real words, like, how to describe a room like that. And I'm not talking about like obviously it feels good when you're a plus size woman and you're in the room with other plus size women and you're discussing issues that you have, like, to have that sense of community and understanding and what you're going through. But to be in a room with just women who get it, y'all, I hope that you at least once in your life get to experience it, if it's not something that you're consistently
bearing witness to. Like, it just feels so good. And of course, like, not that you just can't appreciate it if you always have it, but it's just something about sitting around women who can't fulfill you in that manner that makes you appreciate being in rooms with women who can fulfill you in that manner. And we've talked about it on here before. Like, I've been in rooms with women and I'm sitting here thinking we're vibing and there's secret animosity, they really don't like me, things like that. But when there's women who just get it, it just feels so good. And then recently, on a personal level, like, not even have to do with things that I do for work or for Black Girl Tea, I forgot where the hell I was at, but when I walked in, I was, well, okay, let me go, wherever, where the fuck were we? I was with one of my cousins. I can't think about where we were, but we were late, per usual, and when we walked in the room, like, you know the eyes that you get when you're late? It was like a mix of the, who the hell is this coming in here late, on top of the, oh, y'all look good. Like, talk about them outfits. And, you know, I'm just like, oh, we can talk about it after. Like, I didn't mean to interrupt, blah, blah, blah. But everyone was like, no, where did you get, it was, I had on my purple boots. I'll never forget that. I had on my purple boots and they're like, where you get the boots from? And I'm sitting here, I'm having to send the link to the boots, like, via airdrop to people. Like, we in the room, and it was like, all right, cool, like, let's get back on hand. The conversation that they were having was pertaining to relationships and more so to marriages. I can't participate in that conversation. Like, I've seen people getting married, I've been able to bear witness to some people's issues in their marriage, but I can never advise anybody on a marriage because I've never been married before. So I was sitting there quiet, you know, just had my own little two cents, and there was an opportunity for me to speak. And I, you know, I led with that. Like, I can't give you advice on, like, I can't give you marital advice. I've never been down that road before. But as a woman who have experienced discord and disconnect with themselves, this is what I do to get back in my groove. And it's just like, no, I can't speak to marriage, but I can speak to womanhood, and this is what I'm going to say. And they're not holding, the women in this room were just not holding back on the advice, whether it was people who were married, who weren't married, straight, gay, like, it didn't matter. And those rooms just feel so good. And the tea party, the Hill tea party that I had with Kayla, like, I want to say 70% of the women that were in that room were mothers. Them feeling like them being a mother is exuding who they are as an individual, I can never speak to that because I'm not a mother. The closest to a mother that I am is a cat mom. And, like, I don't have to take care of my cat in America when you take care of a kid. So I dare not try to, you know, compare that. But where it came to, like, just speaking as a mother in comparison to speaking as a woman, all the advice was just there for these women. And a lot of them were saying, like, you know, although you guys weren't mothers, the advice that you gave me still hit. And, like, just being able to throw that advice out there and they take it and be receptive of it was amazing. It just felt so good. And I thought a lot of time, like, and it's not necessarily just women, it's not just with being a mother and married and things like that, but sometimes you feel as though because a person's not in your shoes, they can't advise you. But you not realizing that there's subcategories to everything, and although we may not fit in the main category, them subcategories still help. And it's just like, all right, cool. I love being in a room where, especially when it's like tea parties and stuff, everybody's crying. Everybody's issues are on the same level. I hate when I go in a room and there's one woman who's crying about her divorce, and then there's one woman who's crying because she doesn't get a break because she's a single mother. And there's like, oh, well, you're a mother. I'm sitting here going through a divorce. I'm losing my husband. I hate those types of rooms. I hate those types of conversations. And I completely, you know, once I realize that you are here for a spotlight, you're not really here to just benefit from what's being said, I have to leave. I have to leave the conversation, the room, whatever it is. I will literally leave an event because one person made one comment like that. I hate it. I really fucking hate it. And that's why I'm so, when I have tea parties, I'm very much like, hey, we're all here for a purpose. Your purpose may not be the same as the next person, but we're here for the purpose. And we're not leaving until everybody's purpose of being here is fulfilled. I want you to learn something in these tea parties, whether it's something about yourself, a new way to cope, whatever it is. You need to be leaving here learning something. And that is my biggest thing with these rooms. I don't want anyone to feel like they're in competition. I love when other bloggers and other people who host women's empowerment events, I love when they come to my events and they participate, because I'm not a competition with you. And that's that competition. Like I said, like, I wish people were able to talk to us when we were younger and be like, look, there are going to be some women that are in secret competition with you. But it really just dampens everything. And sometimes it has you second guessing things. And that's another part of womanhood that people don't talk about. The amount of second guessing that women have to do is crazy. And again, I'm not saying that men don't have to second guess, but the amount of second guessing that women have to do, that black women have to do, is crazy. Like, the fact that I have to think twice about, if I share what's going on right now, are these people going to think I'm trying to steal a spotlight? Or are they really just going to sit here and let me share what I have to share and say what I have to say? Are they going to advise me properly because I just kind of piggybacked off of someone else's struggle? Like, how's that going to work? And this is in those type of entities, but it also shows up in other ways. Like, the fact that black women go to work and have to second guess if they're having a conversation with a person if what they're saying is going to translate to that person properly. And a lot of people always say, like, oh, well, you know, think twice, speak once, blah, blah, blah. Easier said than done. Because black women have to, especially when it's something where we have to get a little aggressive with the tone, like, I'm talking to you about this same situation, the same behavior again. When we have to address it, it becomes like, oh, she's an angry, bitter black woman. Yo, I'm not. I'm tired of correcting myself, and I gotta get a little stern with you. So we're second guessing, triple guessing. And that's something that I've experienced recently. Like, I'm having to check my tone so much because it doesn't get translated the correct way. I have to double check, double think, however you want to describe it, my outfits for work. Because if I wear a slip dress, right? I'm sure every woman has a slip dress in her closet, whether you are a size 0 or a size 10 or a size 20, I'm sure there is a slip dress somewhere in your closet. And if it's not a slip dress, we have a form-fitting dress, a bodycon dress, somewhere in that closet. Other women could wear that to work, and it's just like, oh, she's so cute and professional. But if I wear a slip dress to work, and I style it a little certain way, it gets lost in translation. If you wear a slip dress with a t-shirt underneath, to me, that's the cutest little outfit. Simple and cute. Like, it's just, you just eat it up each and every time. But because of the way that I'm shaped, everybody may not see it as that. At work, if I have a good relationship with someone of the opposite sex, and it's not just at work, but like, more so at work, I've seen this as an issue. Like, I could walk by a guy and we have a moment with each other, like, hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm good. You look good today. Thank you. Other people around are like, are they dealing with each other? Is that how she got a promotion? Like, we're having to double think and overthink things because of how society views us. And this fucking sucks. It fucking sucks. In every aspect of our lives, we're having to triple check ourselves. We're having to make sure, like, damn, is this good? Like, second guessing. If I go in here with this really good idea that can help another demographic of our business that we're not hitting, are they going to see it as it being too, air quote, urban? Is it too, air quote, mainstream? Like, I get it. Like, we're running a business, but we have to meet different people. So I have to make sure that the ideas that I'm bringing to the table, I'm second guessing them. Because they're going to see this for what it is. And I hate that for women. I hate that for anybody, but to focus on women, I really hate that for women, that that's something that we're dealing with all the time. And I really just, I wish that we could just be. I really do. Like, I appreciate when I have tea parties and we're in those rooms and we could just be. But I do know that
for those 2 to 4 hours that we're together in that space just being, that for some people, that's all they have until the next tea party. That's as close to just being that they get for a very long time. Which is why I have to make sure that tea parties happen, and I have to curate those spaces like to the T. To the T. I have to make sure that whatever space that I'm using for a tea party has some sort of a private bathroom. Because if a woman needs to excuse herself and go in there and do what she gotta do, you know, cry it out, she deserves to be able to go in there and lock the door. She may get a knock on the door because one of the other women are coming in there to check on her. She's been in there for a little bit, and we want to make sure sis got her mind together. But I have to make sure that there's a privacy option there. I have to make sure that maybe she don't need privacy in the bathroom, but she does need privacy and an opportunity just to step outside really quick and just breathe fresh air. I have to make sure that I'm close to a street level. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's so much that goes into it. But for this month, I want you ladies really to just celebrate who you are, celebrate that those beautiful moments, celebrate those ugly moments, really look back and reflect. And I know I've been saying a lot of, like, doing a lot of activities with you guys where you're sitting there and reflecting, but reflecting really helps. It really does. For you to be able to say, like, whew, on March 4th, of 2023, I was not where I am today. It helps. It really does. It you appreciate your growth. You're able, and that's why I say for you guys to journal, because I have, from last year alone, I have 3 journals, if I'm not mistaken. And sometimes I just go back and I read some of the things that I was going through and really just admire and celebrate my strength, my grit, like the my ability to bounce back, my ability to just evolve. Like, I really do all that. So this month, I want you guys to reflect. I want you to celebrate yourself. I want you to come up with a realistic game plan for yourselves. Like, and I think sometimes when we're setting goals, we're so eager to just like, okay, I need to do this within a year. Sometimes a year is too much time and it's overwhelming and you're not able to really just achieve everything that you want to achieve. So sit down this month and be like, you know what, by the end of the month, I want to be able to have treated myself to dinner a few times this month. Really sit down and hone in on myself. If you need to go get a facial, by the end of this month, I need to go and get me a facial by myself. If there's a restaurant that you've been trying to figure out with your girls and the schedule's not working, by the end of the month, I need to be able to have experience at a restaurant that I wanted to experience, whether it's by yourself or with your girls. And maybe it's for the remainder of this month, after listening to this episode, like, for the remainder of this month, I need to go into isolation mode. I'm in isolation mode right now. And a lot of people have been saying, like, you're supposed to be in isolation, but you still interact with people on social media. My isolation looks different than everybody else's isolation. And I'm going to tell you what that looks like for me. I'm not going outside. If I am outside, it's by myself. I'm not going to nobody's party. If y'all see me in Grill 2, I'm getting food, I'm gone. I'm not outside. I'm not interacting in the group chats. I'm not interacting on social media. Yeah, you see me on social media posting, but I'm not talking to y'all like that. I may laugh at a video, all that good shit, but I'm really taking a moment for me. I am tired, which I know y'all could hear in my voice. But like, the first in January, a lot of my interactions were heavy interactions. Like, it's people crying. It's people who feel defeated. And I missed the opportunity for myself. I noticed that. February, we were cute. Celebrate my birthday. I had a lot of work to do. I really didn't have a moment. Like, being in DC for my birthday was that moment for me to just like, all right, I'm checking out of everything. And when I got back, it was right back in my face. And I was like, you know what? I need a minute. I really need a minute. And that's what it was for me. I sometimes send text messages to let people know that I'm in isolation mode. Sometimes I don't. But really just like
all right, I'm at work. Like a day like today, I'm actually recording this very early in the morning. I'm trying to see what time it is. Okay, it's 5:27 a.m. I purposely woke up to record this episode. I'm gonna go back to sleep for a little bit, and when I wake back up, when it's time for me to start going to work, I have an hour dedicated to myself. I can watch a show, I can listen to a video, whatever the case may be, I can do that. I'm going to work from 9 to 6. While I'm at work, I'm working. My phone is on Do Not Disturb. I may take a little break, you know, my lunch break. I may get on social media. I may respond to a few text messages, but I'm not pressed to do it. I'm not like, oh, they going up in a group chat. I really don't care right now. I don't have it in me to interact with people. I really got to get my mind right for my event, because at the end of the day, I'm there to serve a purpose. I'm there to have a safe space. And I don't know what people are going to throw at me at this event. And that was my biggest thing. Like, I make sure that before tea parties, I isolate. I get my mind together, because people could share some very heavy stuff and it could trigger you. It could really trigger you. And I need to be able to, as the host of this event, like, I need to be able to continue to maneuver. If someone tells me, and one thing that really gets to me when we get into these types of spaces is when women start talking about how they're sexually assaulted and raped. And I realize it happens. It's never going to stop happening, unfortunately. It's never going to stop being talked about. But that is something that gets to me. I have never been a victim of sexual assault. I have never been a victim of rape. I thank God for that. But it really bothers me to see that women are taken advantage of on that level. And to see women break down in front of me because of it, it is very hard. And I don't think it's easy for anybody, to be honest with you. But I have to be able to, in that moment, take care of that woman that is in front of me, sharing that story. But also make sure that the 20 some odd people that are also in the room are also taken care of after she just laid that on us. And then I have to continue the program, you know what I'm saying? Like, so I need to isolate. And sometimes you gotta isolate for more than just preparing for an event. Sometimes you gotta isolate to be able to check in with yourself. I encourage it. Journal, isolate, track your progress. Like, I couldn't encourage you guys to do that any more than what I'm doing it now. Like, please reflect, isolate, journal, set some goals, do it again. It should be a cycle at this point. But maybe, you know, moving forward, we dumb it down. So maybe we're not isolating for 2 weeks. Maybe it's, well, I'm going to do one day of just staying to myself and see what that helps. And then you got to go back in and readjust some things. But happy Women's History Month. I hope that you ladies feel so good. I hope that you just continue to celebrate yourself and be happy in everything that you got going on. It's tough. We live in a tough world. But I'm sure that we can bounce back from everything we've done thus far. And I know, and I'm positive that we will continue to do so. And I really hope and pray that this road gets easier for us as women, especially as Black women. I just pray that we have an easy road somewhere without having to be one of the strongest soldiers all the time. But like I said, happy Women's History Month. Continue to celebrate your success. Continue to celebrate your womanhood. Maybe go out and get some drinks. Do something with the girls. Do something with yourself. Take your daughters out. Fellas that are listening to this, please, you should be loving on women every day of the year, but love on them a little bit more this year. Celebrate them this month, rather. Celebrate them a little bit more this month. Get roses a little bit more often than you normally do. Send money for lunch. Pay for her set. Like, pay for her full set. She wants some box braids. Maybe you can't afford to pay for the actual box braids, but maybe you could go to the hair store and get 5 packs of braiding hair. Get 5 to be safe. Maybe even 6, depending on how thick her hair is. But do something to make these women smile this month. And don't leave it all on me, fellas. Okay? All right. I'll talk to y'all soon.